Accession number 30651, Mr. Bill Ralston, Reel 3. Now, you're just saying that after a while you moved, so the war's still on, but...
Yep.
So where did you move? You didn't move out, you moved to school, did you?
Yeah, moved school. The other one had got bombed.
Do you remember that?
It got bombed.
And we just went to school again.
And they said, the school's bombed. You're going to go to Custom House now, went to school there and everything was okay, and that got bombed. I then went to another school, which was Pretoria Road School at West End, and this was magic, this school. It was all boys. Had a wonderful life there, We used to play about going to school. We'd follow the milkman along the road, and we wouldn't steal the milk. We'd pull up, when they put the milk in people's pouches, take it along and put 24 bottles of milk in someone's pouch, knock on the door, and the woman come out and got all this milk, We used to do things like that. No, it was wrong to do. We all admitted that, I think, but... We'd never steal it, wouldn't do smash the bottles or nothing like that. We'd do no damage, it was just devilment.
What was the school like? You were doing well at Pretoria School,
yeah? Yeah, the thing that I did love was sport and carpentry.
Well, tell me about the sport first. What sport do you like?
Soccer, running, boxing. And that's all we used to have, gymnastics. We used to have to do a bit of gymnastics.
Now, were you good at sport, or was it just you enjoyed it?
Not brilliant, not bad, middle of the road, I suppose. I played for the school.
Good enough to have a good game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I played for the school. Played for school cricket, football, running, and. I spent a lot of time, when my young brother was in hospital, they gave him a balsa wood airplane kit. Now, they were just chunks, and they had to be carved, to carve the fuselage in and the wings, so they were just a square bit of wood, and you had to chamfer them down. And we had a woodwork teacher who'd been a pilot in the 1418 war, been in the Air Force, and... He thought this was marvellous, and so I've spent all my time the last few months, instead of doing it, squatting up what kids are doing now, it's woodwork, I used to go to woodwork and all that. I made it, and when I took it into Great Ormond Street, my brother had now moved to Great Ormond Street, he said, does it fly? This thing was all made of balsa wood, and it was made perfect, with this guy overseeing me. And he threw it in the air, and it broke. I thought 3 months old work, it's just gone up in the pictures, sort of thing. It was the old time at school was good.
Do you remember any more about the bombing or the raid? Because were there any raids going on, or was it just V1s
and V2s? When I came home now,
that's what's hitting the schools then.
Yeah. Then. I was at school, and then it settled down quite happily, but every boy was always getting a cane. They were disciplinarians, teachers. If you saw certain teachers, you'd see them 100 yards away, you'd walk like a grenadier, and you wouldn't say a word. You're just terrified of them, because they were disciplinarians. They had to be, kids were getting no discipline at home. So you got discipline in school, with these teachers. They would, I suppose they were devoted teachers, because they were trying to keep us in line. Because we, make no bones, we'd have been little hooligans. And one teacher was the name, Mr. Smith. And he used, winter and summer, he'd wear brogue shoes, no socks, grey flannels, an open neck shirt and a sports jacket, and that's all he'd wear, and I used to blow the whistle when we used to be playing football, released there and A and different things like that. And they'd blow the whistle and you had to stop. And when he was satisfied that everybody, the teacher was satisfied, everybody stopped, they'd blow the whistle again and you had to get in two lines in each class. Well, the class I was in, there were some real monkeys, me included. They said, we won't have two lines, we'll have one line right across the playground. No one's ever done it before, so we've done it. And he come round, he had his cane under his arm, like a sergeant major. He said, how many lines supposed to be here? One, one and a half or two? And I was right at the end, and I said, not two, but three. And he knew my voice. Go to the headmaster and get the punishment book and his cane. I said, you've got a cane. Don't tell me what I've got. Go and get the headmaster's cane. So when I came back, he lined all the school up in a square with an hole in the middle and a gap for me to walk through. And I'll never forget, he said, boys, we're going to have an arithmetic lesson. And Mr. Ralston's going to give it to us. What's two threes? So I said, six. He said, no, they all the school wants to hear. Six, sir. He said, that's what you're going to get. And he whacked me at the back of the head with a cane, and I had six on the back side, like, and I had to shout them out. One, two, and there she'd go home and tell Mum, if I'd have told her, she'd have beat me unmerciful for being cheeky to a teacher, like, or to any adult. And now, my dad come home, and he'd been in the Berlin Olympic Stadium, and he bought loads of...
Yeah, so that's after the war.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember, before we get to the VE Day,
yeah,
you know, or VJ Day, was there any parties?
Yeah, there was another thing happened to me on VE Day. We had big bonfires on a debris, and there was a big debris next to this house where we lived. So we were all getting the wood, and it was like a mountain of wood. And we went to some shops in Old Rathbone Street, right, and there's some houses at the back. And we were ripping the doors out of the houses, and I had a street door. And I was holding it on my back like this, walking along. And as I walked along, someone knocked on the door. Where you got that, mister? I said, go on, clear off. Oh, you want me to tell me to clear off? And when I looked at somebody in blue, it's a policeman. So I said, oh, found it, mate. I've really found it. He said, yeah, come, let's find where you found it. So they found out, like, he said, now put it back. It was only a bombed house, right, you know. So anyhow, I went home, I said to all the other kids, I'm not going to get no more. Coppers had me, like, you know.
And what was the bonfire like when you finished it? You know, what was that night like?
Oh, it was just one glorified party. The whole of East London was in party mode. Everyone, everywhere, like, you know, there's people kissing one another in the street, cuddling one another. My husband will be home. Like, I can remember my mum saying to me, "Oh, Bill will be home. Be out, keep that little sod in check, like, you know." Anyhow, I left school.
When your dad came back, I mean, he must have been almost a stranger to you.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Because, I mean, you were...
Well, I was hoping he'd go straight back again. 2 days after, I was nearly lost the plot of what I was going to say. He'd brought home a football from this Berlin stadium. And now I'm the only kid in the local area who had a football. And we lived on a T-junction and took it out the street, and an old man that lived on one of the corners named Mr. Waldy. Go on, piss off over the park with that ball, like, he said. I shouldn't have said that, but that's what he said. Over the park with that ball. So I said, you wait till my old man comes home, he'll soon put you in his place. And the next thing I know, I've seen him 2 days in all them years, and I've got such a clump. I'm not your old man, mister, I'm your father. Get in. Oh, and did I no discipline then, like, you know. I joined a boys club, Fairbairn House Boys Club. which was the finest club.
Hang on, just carry on with the dad bit first. I'm going to come to the other stuff. I am going. But did you resent your dad being that disciplined, that hard with you?
Not really. I don't suppose. I knew he had the right way in life. Thing now, you know, I've always done. He said to me when he came home, put some polish on them boots. Now, I mean, they never cleaned their boots, I don't suppose, much in that time, all that time in Europe. If you've got clean boots, you look smart. Keep your hair cut short, and that's it. And it's stuck with me ever since.
So you didn't mind him being back?
No.
Did you get on well with him?
Yeah, got on quite well. I don't think I got on as well with him as what I did with my own son. I wasn't allowed to cry. You know, if I'd done anything wrong, if I fell over as a kid, even before I was about to die, and hurt, grazed my knees, my hands, if I cried, oh, you don't cry, you're a boy. Girls cry. And like, that's how my life was like. You know, you've got to be tough because you're a man, like, you know. And I don't think the amount of times that my mother had the time to give me a cuddle, like, or say, sit on me lap, was very few and far between. They led a very serious life, I think, like. I mean, my wife, she says to my son, he's 50 now, give your mum a cuddle. But I never experienced that. With my father, like, you know, if I've done anything wrong, it is, no, you get punished for it, like, you know. One thing he would always insist, you tell the truth, I won't punish you. So if I've done anything wrong, like, I'll tell the truth, but I'd be tired if he found it was a lie. I mean, my mum, on one occasion, it was the day I left school. I left school on a Friday, and on a Saturday, she said, as the Cubans, go and get a loaf of bread. And it was fourpence halfpenny and old money then. And I forgot what I was saying, like what I said to her. I said, go and get it yourself. Go and get your effing self. And I came right out with it. And she said, what did you say? I said, nothing. And I tried to get by her, like. And this flat upstairs, where the toilet was upstairs, like where my aunt had. And I ran upstairs and locked the toilet door. I thought, I'm going to get beaten now. So anyhow, she came up the stairs, tried the door. She said to me, come out. So I said, no, you're going to hit me. So she said, I won't hit you if you come out. So I said, no, I ain't coming out. So I heard her go down the stairs. And I opened the door like that to see if she was down. What she'd done, she took her shoes off, come up and stood behind the door. And when I poked my head out the door, she punched me in the face. And I ran down the stairs, and at the back, we had a brick wall about 6 foot high. I jumped on it like that, and she just yanked me down. She skinned both arms. When I was on the floor, she kicked me. She said, I'll cut your tongue out. You ever say that word again? Get in your bedroom and wait till he comes home. I thought, oh, this is going to be the murder. So anyhow, all my arms had been bleeding. I got into bed and I took all the blankets off and I folded them all up so one blanket now become three. I thought I'm going to get the belt. And another blanket, so I got about 9 layers of blanket on me and then a quilt. I heard him come home on Saturday dinner time. It was in a long while and then the door went open. He said, your mother said you've got headache. Well, if you've got headache, you stay in there, you can't go out. Playing the streets, staying there if you've got a headache, and she never told him. But he would have, I think he'd have swung for me, he would have liked for saying that to her. And I had a good understanding with him, but I think being he had a disciplined life in the forces, he then instilled it on me. I used to go to a boys' club.
Now, that's the Fairburn House
Boys'
Club. Now, tell me a bit about that, Will.
Yeah, it was run by Mansfield University, Cambridge. They financed it. Now, when you had to wait for membership there. It was an exclusive club.
So when did you join it? About what year or how old?
About 47, I suppose, when I left school. And I joined it because a lot of the boys I'd played football at school, they were members here.
So you'd be about, what, 14?
14, yeah. And I was on the waiting list and I eventually got in. Now, when you went in here, we had a cloakroom. And no boy was allowed to be in the club with a coat on. You had to take your coat off. They gave you a little brass tally with you, what number it was on coat hangers. I wanted to do football, but now the sports, what you could do in there, you could do boxing, you could play football, you could do judo, you name it. You could play tennis, you could play rugby, you could play drafts, you could do carpentry, you could be had a theatre in there, so you could do drama. We had a chapel in there, everything. And up to the stairs was a big marble staircase. We had a gymnasium with a plunge pool in there. We had a five-a-side football pitch in there. We had snooker tables in there, table tennis tables. You name it, you could do it at Fairburn.
So it's fantastic facilities for then. It's like a modern sports club.
Yeah, it was better because we then had another place with a big ground. We had a quarter of a mile running track with a football pitch in the middle. We had one, two, three, four football pitches. We had two rugby pitches, tennis courts and an open door air swimming pool. And on a Sunday morning, when you was a boy, if you went, you were playing football there, you had to be there, I think it was half past 10, be there before half past 10. And then you then had to sweep the ground. All the boys had to walk all the way up and down. And anything what wasn't grass, you had to pick up. So if it was a daisy, a dandelion, you had to pick it up. And then I think it was 11 o'clock, the Union Jack used to be hoisted on the flag. And the national anthem would blare out over speakers and you all had to stand to attention. It was the creme, of the...
Now, what did you choose to do there?
I used to go to football and boxing. Now, when I'd go to training of a night time, I'd say to my dad, I'd be home at 9. And it had to be 9 o'clock. Quarter to 10 was no good. Half past 9 was no good. Quarter past 9, it'd give you up to quarter past. And then that was it. One night I came walking around, it was an old fashioned bag wash shop where women used to take their washing, right? And I had my hands in my pockets, with my training bag on, and he punched me straight in the face. He didn't mess about, just punched me. We've been worried out of our life for you, your mother's crying, you're supposed to be home at 9 o'clock, get in and you won't go, now they'd say grounded, but he said, you won't bloody well go out for a fortnight. And that was it, And he was only a little man, but he wasn't unkind to me, but if you stepped out of line, you get punished. And
now, how did you do at football and boxing there?
Not so well in the boxing. I had about 6 or 7 fights. The first one, my dad came and he paid a fiver. Now, that was a lot of money for a ringside seat. And I got him ringing the other boy, never. So it was scrub, And then there was another fight where the opponent never turned up. So there was three of us, had no opponent. They put our three names in and mine got drawn out, so the other two fought. And when I was glad that they fought, it was a mate of mine who was one of them, poor name Lenny Bentham. And he got the hiding of his life. So I thought, I'm glad it wasn't me. But then, yeah, that was about.
How did you do when you did fight?
Yeah, I won a couple and lost a couple, sort of thing. Then.
What about the football?
Yeah, I played football for him, but the guy who was running it, he watched me play, like, kick about. He said to me, son, he said, you ain't got a lot of chance. He said, you're not good enough. He says, there's only one way you get in this side. He said, you're going to have to learn to work, to run. He said, and I mean run. He said, you're going to have to cover. You can get in, he said, if you're going to cover a lot of ground. So I said, all right. So I was determined to get in. And I did cover a lot of ground, and I was always training, running, and that. And that's how I got in, like, and I went there for a couple of years, and then I met my wife.
So you went there till about 49?
Yeah. I met my wife.
Now, were you in anything else? Any other boys' organisations? Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, OTC, Army Cadets, anything?
I was in the Army Cadets.
And when had you been in the Army Cadets?
I suppose I was about 14, 15 then.
So roughly the same time.
Yeah. And that was all right, right indoors.
Now, what did you do with the Army Cadets? What kind of...
I was in a band. I was a bugler in the band. That was at the Dockland Settlement at Canning Town. Quite enjoyed that.
What would you do with them? What did the Army Cadets train you in? You see what I mean?
Yeah, more or less marching and rifle drill, that sort of thing. Small arms. Like, we never got the opportunity to fire them. A lot of band practice. Twice a week, I think, when we'd have band practice, they were had a very good bugle and drums band. You getting tired?
No.
That was good. We had a lot of marching, like, you know, to get you in line with it, like, you know, and the discipline, like, with cleaning the belt and the gaiters and all that. You had to clean your bugle, like, of a brass and that, cap badges and all that. But the uniform used to be done up to the collar, like, you know. You had no shirt and tie sort of thing. I don't know if you're aware of them, like, where they used to be done up like that. And
so what uniform did you have? Did you have a full sort of khaki?
Yeah, khaki uniform with gaiters, belt with two little brass bits on the side, like brass buckles at the back, gaiters, and that was about it. But then I went to... And they were always, like, in the band, they were always white, the belt and gaiters were. And I went home with that, said, oh, I'll smarten you up a bit. And he's ironed a collar out, like, you know, and got it all done. And he brought me a shirt and tie, and he whitened all the inside of the jacket. And went on parade. And they went absolutely putty. Who do you think you are, a film star? Get that done up, like, and get all that white, cover all that white up on the inside. Oh, they didn't like that. And I don't think my dad liked it, but I used to pull me boots then, like, you know, just the toe caps. He taught me, like, how to rub it round in little circles with Kiwi polish. And I suppose, really, it gave me a grounding for the forces.
How did you do with a bugle? I mean, did you actually manage to learn to play it?
Yeah, we used to play the Essex March, the Pompadours. Then we used to play, another one was the Marseillaise, like the French National Anthem, we used to play that.
Would you do marching display? I mean, was it just a concert, or would you do display, you know?
No, we would go in, like, there used to be a lot of parades in the streets in them days, particularly armistice time, like, they would have march around the streets, and they'd stop at a street shrine and someone had played a last post, like, you know, things like that. We went to one competition to Ilford, and we won the Essex Cadet Force band show, like a marching band show, and had inspected all for turnout. And when we, of course, when we finished, I said, "Oh, wonderful!" Right, the guy who was running it. "We won't go home by lorry. We'll march home and play." So we marched all the way from Ilford to East London, 7 miles. It's all these youngsters, like, now they'd probably get locked up for being going over the top, sort of
thing. Did you ever have any sort of training exercises, you know, where you went out pretending to attack or defend?
No.
Any summer camp or?
No, we never done nothing like that. It was just stuff in there, sort of thing.
And you did that for what, a year or so?
Yeah, probably about a year till
47 to 48, I've got it down.
Yeah.
14 to 15.
Yeah, but that'd be about right.
Not longer than that. Why did you leave?
I don't know. I think, like, I was going to the other club, and then I met my wife. I think we were only about 16 when I met my wife, right? And,
well, tell us the story of that. So, how did you meet your wife?
Well, I was working at Tatton Lowes, and so was she.
Ah, well, hang on. Well, let's do that first. Tell me how you got a job, because, sorry, I missed that out. Yeah. So you left school when? 14?
Yeah.
So it's all happening in the same year. So it's all 1947 still.
Yeah.
Now, what were you going to do? What did your dad have in your mind? I presume he had a big say. What did you
want to
do?
He wanted me to be a carpenter. And when I took exams, they just told me what to make. And I'd make a perfect joint, but I wouldn't make the joint what I was told to do. Like, I'd make a mortise and tenon joint, and it'd be a dovetail joint, but they told me to make it. I couldn't get my head around it, like, you know, and so, needless to say, I didn't get anywhere with it, so I said,
that was at school, was it?
Yeah. And I wanted to go to school of building, like West Ham had a school of building where they taught boys trades and all that. And anyhow, I went and got a job at a factory in Silvertown.
What as?
As a machine operator making Exide car batteries. The money was absolutely astounding. Like, kids were getting £1.05, so it's £1.25 today, wages. I was getting £3 there. Like,
that's a lot of money.
That was a lot of money, but it was slave labour.
In what way?
The heat, the smell, and what you had to do, you had to grind these parts of batteries down, and that's how you pushed them, like, with a thumb and a finger, like, onto a grinding wheel and grind them right down. And I've done that for quite some time.
How long?
I don't know, about 6 months, something like that, I suppose, 6-7 months.
And
I've got a mate of mine a job there, like. I said to him, he said, "You always get good money." He said, "Well, you are. You've got plenty of money." What had used to happen when I used to get my wages, my father used to take £1 off of me each week, save up, and he'd take me around to the tailor shop, and I'd have a tailor-made suit. Like, you've got to be smart. That's all he used to say. Like, you know, you've got to look smart. And wouldn't let us walk out scruffy. But I was paying for mine. My young brother, who was at school and what have you, he would have the same, but mum and dad had to pay for his. And a lot of people said to me, "Did you ever, feel a jealousy towards your brother?" Like, my wife has said it, like, you know, many a time. "Did you ever feel jealous that he was getting that?" I said, "No, it didn't sort of bother me." Like,
he was ill, wasn't he?
Yeah. And that's it.